Welcome to Crossing the Border, Interviews with Peace Builders. I'm Professor Saliba Sarsar of Monmouth University, and I have with me Dr. Dan Bar-On of Ben-Gurion University of the Negev, who is a visiting Fulbright Scholar in Residence at Monmouth University during spring 2007. Welcome, Dr. Bar-On.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
Thank you for being here. I would like to know from you about your commitment. You have spent over 15 or so years building peace between Israelis and Palestinians. Can you give us like an idea of your type of work?
I would like to start maybe that my earlier work, which goes back to 30 years back, was working with families of Holocaust survivors in Israel, three generations in these families. And later on, interviewing also the children of Nazi perpetrators in Germany and bringing these representatives of these two groups together. Mm-hmm. So that was for me a kind of a background before I started to become more involved working with Palestinians, especially with Professor Adwan, in the Israeli-Palestinian arena after the Oslo Accord. Mm-hmm. Actually, in our work, we built together in the late 90s a peace research institute called PRIME, which was supposed at that time, we thought about promoting joint research projects between Israelis and Palestinians to help to facilitate the peace process. Then we believed in the Oslo days that that will happen soon. But after October 2000, we had to rethink our strategy, because we felt that the violence that broke out between Israelis and Palestinians delayed the peace process. And then we decided to focus on a couple of projects. One is the one that we work on here, which is to develop a joint school textbook with the help of Israeli and Palestinian teachers, mm-hmm. in which both narratives will be presented to the pupils. The narratives have been developed by the teachers, mm-hmm. and in which the pupil will read their own narrative, which they are more familiar with, and also the narrative of the other side, which they are less familiar with. They don't know it as a narrative. Usually they see it as propaganda. They delegitimize it. They say that their narrative is morally superior. And here they are faced with both narratives in a way where they can read both of them, can compare them, and have to learn to respect the narrative of the other side, mm-hmm. just as they respect their own narrative.
Mm-hmm. What brought you more specifically to working with Dr. Sami Adwan of Bethlehem University and to the idea of using textbooks as opposed to using some other method? Mm-hmm.
We got acquainted participating in a European study which dealt with the issue of youth and history in Europe, where for them the question was, will after the European Union young people stick to their national history, or will they develop a kind of a European history, an overall history? And we participated in that study. We gave questionnaires to 1,200 Israeli pupils. I and Sami gave to 1,200 Palestinian pupils. And there actually, in that study, we learned to understand the value of these questions. Sami was involved before that already in analyzing textbooks, Israeli and Palestinian textbooks. I, as I said, as a psychologist, was more involved in creating dialogue between opposite sides of a bitter conflict or of a bitter tragedy. So I think we could combine our knowledge from education and psychology into this kind of work.
Mm-hmm. Great. In terms of this activity with its meaning to you personally, what did it mean to you to work over 15-year period on this specific type of a project?
I had to actually to learn about myself in relation to the Palestinians, and I did that by watching through a one-way mirror for 3 years, student groups at my university, Jewish Israeli and Palestinian Israeli students who would meet in a workshop led by two facilitators from Neve Shalom. And for three such years, I watched these seminars behind the one-way mirror. And I had to learn through that that actually I had to test my own stereotypes about Palestinians. I had to learn, and that was a painful study for me, a learning experience, that actually I could live my life in this region without seeing Palestinians, without knowing Palestinians, without feeling their pain. And and through these listening to the these discussions among the students, although I could listen to both of them, I found myself many times wanting to jump into the room and to participate in the discussion. And through that experience, I really could see also how it was, in a way, easier for me to do studies about the far past, about the Holocaust, because I come from the victim side. I come from the good side. And to see my there, for me, it was easier to bring the two very difficult controversy, the children of the victims and the children of the victimizers. But still, for me, that was, in a way, an easier experience. In this conflict, the Palestinian-Israeli conflict, I was much more involved. I was much more under the pressure that we actually, in many ways, we belong to the side that occupies the Palestinians, who prevents them from having their own state. And it was difficult morally for me to be in that role. And on the other hand, I also felt that we have a right to be in that region. So how to bring together our own right or our own need for national existence in that region, and to accept the needs of the Palestinian for such a right. And that was not an easy task for me to understand. And then through the work with Sami, I think we moved forward. What can be done to reach that possibility also for other people?
What has the relationship and the work with Palestinian educator Sami Adwan meant to you personally?
We brought together these teachers, and as a first step, we sat in a room at the New Imperial Hotel in East Jerusalem. We put all of them in a circle, and we asked everyone to share their life stories. So you would hear a story of a Palestinian teacher who come from a village near Hebron, and she had to go through checkpoints, and she had difficulty at all to reach this, and how the Intifada affected her life and the life of her family. And you had to hear a story of Israelis whose relatives were killed by suicide bombers during the Second Intifada. So you could hear how much pain these people carry with them, each one from their own side. Until then, each one only heard the pain from their own side. But now they had to also to listen to the pain from the other side. So that was, for us, a kind of an introduction before we gave them their task to develop this school textbook.
What would you like people to know about this life's work of yours, about history and about Jews and Palestinians working together?
I think that our conflict is so complicated because both our people feel that they have the right for the whole land. And their initial natural intention is to say, this belongs to us, the other ones should go away. The Palestinians, I think, initial opinion was the Jews came here as colonizers, they should go back to their countries from where they came. The Israeli felt that this land was empty and there existed no people there. Or the people that were, these were individual or families or farmers, they can be thankful for the Israelis who made the higher standard of living. So I think that initial point of view is very difficult to negotiate and to find a middle way for the people, because the tendency is to say maybe tomorrow morning there will be an opportunity that we can materialize our aspirations and delegitimize that of the other side, and they will be away. Mm-hmm. So how to get away people from that dream that tomorrow morning that will not happen, but we will share this land, which is a painful solution, but it is a possible solution, maybe the only possible one for both of us to live and to exist and to let the other live. Mm-hmm. So I think it's in that process that we work together, we felt we will do a little contribution to recognize that need of both our people beyond the right, the initial right, mm-hmm. and make us our life possible. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any advice for individuals and groups that want to commit to crossing the border and to be engaged in peace building?
I think there have to be two processes simultaneously. You have to learn something about the other party, and in our way we do it through the school textbooks, but you also learn through that something about yourself. And this two learning, that doesn't mean that you have to give up yourself, to give the other one the full right and thereby to diminish your own right for it to exist. But you have to create some new equilibrium in yourself, and that means to give certain aspects of what you built in your imagination about who you are as people, and to give up certain aspects that are delegitimizing the other, but still maintaining those aspects which are essential for your own part. Mm-hmm. And that is, we are doing it through a peace building process, as you said, mm-hmm. Which is a grassroots, on the grassroots level, a bottom-up process. It's a long-term process. It's very difficult to measure its outcomes. And that has to go jointly with the peace-making process, which is a top-down process, where the politicians have to find a political solution. Mm-hmm. So these two processes have to be synchronized. When they are not synchronized, then usually you reach a political agreement, but then people break it up, like we saw in Oslo. Mm-hmm. Or you do peace-building activities like we do, and there are lots of such activities, not only by us done in our case, but you don't have a political solution, and then all your efforts go astray. Mm-hmm.
Do you have any other things that we have not covered during our interview that mm-hmm. you would like to express?
Mm-hmm. I think both Sami and me are committed that the next generations will not be further involved in a conflict, in war, in an army, in activities like they have been involved in our generation, even our children's generation. Mm-hmm. We would like at least that there will be two generations ahead which will not be at all involved in war, mm-hmm. but will be able to already give up violence as a way to resolve things. And then we believe there will be an opening that these youngsters will be able to develop that we did not see in our lives. I think we do it for our grandchildren, for our children, to live in a different world. And we saw that happening in Europe, we saw it happening in other regions of the world, that bitter enemies succeeded to make a different future for their children. Mm-hmm. So that we would also like to happen in the Middle East. And it's possible for Jews and Muslims and Christians to do that together. We are sure that such a possibility exists.
Thank you, Dr. Bar-On, very much for sharing your ideas, mm-hmm. for your inspiring work and your commitment mm-hmm. to peace building. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you.